Martin Luther was believed to start the tradition of the Christmas tree, the lit Christmas tree. In those days, this is 1500s, they would take a candle, a lit candle, stick it in a dry tree. Probably wasn't so smart, but it reminded him of the, I think he was out walking one day and one night saw the brightness of the sky, the moon and the stars. And the stars reminded him of light, of candles, the light of Christ. And so that's how that tradition kind of started, the Christmas tree. And so we light our Christmas trees every year to remind us of the light of Jesus. This is the final installment of the Abide sermon series that we've been on for the last couple of weeks. Abide meaning to remain, to stay, to believe, trust in Christ. And this morning we begin with a simple yet profound question to begin the message. What does it actually mean to abide in Christ? So we're going to look at that. It's a phrase we use once in a while, but according to Martin Luther, abiding in Christ is nothing less than the very essence of the Christian life. So for a text this morning, I've chosen John 15. John 15, verses 4 through 11. Let's take a look. It's on your screen, your bulletin. It's also in the pew Bibles in front of you, or your Bible, of course, John 15, 4 through 11. John 15. And it says this: remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, when it says remain, also know that it's the same word for abide when it says remain. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain or abide in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain or abide in me and my words remain or abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain or abide in my love. If you keep my commandments or my commands, you will remain or abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain and abide in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Help us to abide and remain in Christ and learn more what it means to be a Christian, to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Martin Luther wrote this. He said this: a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ. By faith, he is caught up beyond himself into God. Let me say that again. A Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ. By faith, he's caught up beyond himself into God. This is Luther's way of explaining what Jesus said in John 15. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Luther says that abiding in Christ is not simply staying close to Jesus, admiring Jesus, or even working for Jesus. Abiding in Christ means that by faith we are united to him so deeply that his life becomes our life. His life becomes our life. And we're going to look at four different areas from the text this morning, four different things. United with Christ, number one. Number two, dependence. Dependence, we talked a little bit about what that means. Number three, fruitfulness. Who likes fruit? Okay, what's your favorite fruit? Strawberries. Do you like raspberries? I don't. I like strawberries. I like the flavor of raspberries, but it's the something about the seeds. They get caught in my teeth. I don't like the raspberries. So banana probably would be my favorite fruit. Okay, so there's all sorts of fruit. We're going to talk about fruitfulness, okay? Fruitfulness. And number four, assurance. assurance. Number one, point one is united with Christ. We live in Him. We live in Christ. John 15 begins this way. We didn't read it, but I'll read it now. The first few verses in John 15, just before our text. We started with verse 4. I'll read 1, 2, 3. It says this, I am the true vine. Now, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Okay, He's telling His disciples. Likely, Jesus was walking on the path, the dusty road, with His disciples. He's always teaching His disciples. Likely walking, and He sees a vineyard, which were common back then. They're common today, out in California especially. Vineyards that's got, the branches have grapes on them, right? They're growing grapes. So He was likely out, and He wanted to teach a truth. He wanted to teach His disciples what it meant to be abiding or remaining in Him and have faith in Him, trust in Him. So He pointed out the vineyard. And then He said this to them, I am the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, ouch, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain or abide in me as I also remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. So you can't bear any fruit unless you're abiding or remaining in Christ by faith. Does that make sense? That's what He's saying to His disciples. This reminds me of Galatians chapter 2. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a number of letters in the New Testament. One was to the church in Galatia. Chapter 2 says this, verse 20, Paul says this, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Similar language that John's trying to share with us in John chapter 15. Luther declared, a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ. It's a mystery. This Christian life can be a mystery. And when we come to Jesus by faith, He unites us to Himself. We are not merely improved people. We're not simply forgiven people. We are, but we're not simply that. We're joined to Christ by Christ. It's a profound mystery. We can't see Jesus, can't see God, but we know He's there through His Word, through what He told us, what He told His disciples so long ago. That's what faith is. We still believe even though we can't see. We trust in Him and what He did and accomplished for us through the cross and through His resurrection. Luther describes it this way in his Galatians commentary. He said, Christ lives this life in me, which I now live. Christ and I are one, in a sense. Jesus' vine and branch metaphor is not an illustration of cooperation. It's an illustration of being united. Being united. Jesus as a branch shares the life of the vine. Just as a branch shares the life of the vine, the Christian shares the life of Christ. So His Spirit, Jesus' Spirit flows into us. His power strengthens us. His righteousness covers us. His love fills us. So if you are in Christ, you are not spiritually alone. You are never praying alone. You are never serving alone. You are never in temptation alone. You're never suffering alone. Christ Himself lives in you. Last Sunday I shared when John wrote in his gospel, which we are in right now, John 15, a couple of chapters later, John records the longest prayer that Jesus prayed, the longest recorded prayer that John wrote down. His apostle John wrote Jesus' prayer. I shared a little bit about that last Sunday. He's still doing that, in fact, praying for you. Did you know that? He's still praying for you. Jesus is still alive. He is alive. He died, right? But he rose again. Was alive and rose again for 40 days, walking around with his disciples, trying to instruct them, some final instructions before he left. He said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit can't come, but when I do go, he will come and guide you into all truth and point you to what and to what I said to you so that you can remember my words. So in John 17, he's praying for y'all. Here's some of the words. That's what it means when Jesus rose again. He goes back into heaven and interceding at the right hand of God the Father. Interceding, that's what that means. He's praying for you. Here's how he prayed that day. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's the purpose clause. So that the world may believe that. I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one and I in them and you in me so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. United with Christ, we live in him. Point two, dependence. We talked about a little bit about dependence. We cannot live the Christian life on our own. You can try. In your own power, in your own strength, you can live the Christian life. You could try to do it. If you strap your boots tight enough. John, that's what John's getting here. It's all about dependence. Now, when you were born, you were very dependent on your moms and dads, and your grandmas and grandpas, whoever raised you. Very dependent. They had to feed you. They had to change your diapers. They had to do everything for you, basically, right? Very dependent. As you grow older, you become a little bit more independent. Those ages of 13 through 19 are very trying for all concerned. Thankfully, Caitlin's 20 now. She's out of those teens. We never stop parenting. Become a little bit more independent, a little bit more independent. And as you get older, at the end of your life, you become a little bit more dependent again. That's how God made it. The process of human life. Dependence to dependence. In between, independence. In the spiritual life, in the Christian life, it's only dependence. We don't live the Christian life in our own power and strength. We live dependent on the Holy Spirit to help lead and guide us. Give us the power to live a life that's pleasing to Him and that can touch others. Luther warned strongly against self-reliance. Don't do it, he said. He wrote this, my holiness, righteousness, purity do not stem from me nor depend on me. They come solely from Christ, in whom I'm rooted by faith. Jesus said to his disciples and to us this morning, apart from me, you can do nothing. What does that mean, nothing? Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Are there any other zeros, nada, nothings? What do you got? Zilch, thank you. Apart from me, he says, by faith, you can do absolutely zilch. I like that word. Not a little, not less than usual, nothing. We live in a world that celebrates independence, self-sufficiency, do-it-yourself, spirituality, but the branch cannot produce a single grape without the vine. A branch cannot produce a single grape without the vine. It's totally impossible. No grapes unless the branch is attached to the vine. What about your phone? I know you got one. What about charging your phone? Don't be looking at it now. Your phone may be capable of sending messages and running apps, but disconnected from the power source, what does your phone do? Nothing. It dies. You pull it off the cord too early, never gains enough strength to do what it was made to do. This is us. It's you and I spiritually. We want strength without power or without prayer. We want courage without the word. We want transformation without surrender. We want fruit without abiding. Sorry, it can't happen. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Deeper, I'm reading it right now again for the second time, Deeper it's called. He quotes Luther again. Martin Luther says this: Christ is not only the way on which we must begin our journey, but he also is also the right and safe way we must walk to the end. When you have apprehended me in faith, you are on the right way, which is reliable, but only see that you remain and continue on in it. Christ wants to tear and turn our hearts from all trust in anything else and pin them to himself alone. Abide. Remain in him. Depend on him. Point number three. Fruitfulness. Okay, strawberries, raspberries, grapes, bananas. Any other fruits that you like? What do you got? Pineapple. Who doesn't like pineapple? What do you got back there? What is it? Mango? Apples. I like apples. What? Kiwis? You like kiwis? Okay, kiwis are okay. A little seedy for me, I think. Pears. You only get one choice. No. Pears. I don't like pears. Yeah, I don't know. Pears and raspberries. Worst two fruits ever made. What else you got? Peaches. Oh, I like peaches. Dragon fruit. How many? Do you actually eat dragon fruit? Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about fruitfulness. Okay. There's all sorts of fruits. Luther taught that all Christian fruit, every act of love, patience, kindness, and service flows from Christ to us, through us. Something wrong if that fruit is coming, all the love and grace and mercy and patience and kindness from Christ, if it's coming to me and then it stops and it can't get out. Something wrong there. Luther wrote this: I bear fruit in him and through him. I bear fruit in him and through him. This fruit's not mine. It's the vine's. Pressure's off. That fruit that you bear, it's not yours. It's his. And he gives it to you so it flows through you to bless those around you. Here's how the Apostle Paul said it from Galatians chapter 5. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, or love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is not self-generated morality. It is Christ-generated transformation. Think about that for a while. A branch. Okay, you remember Jesus says in this text, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So picture yourself as a branch. I cut a bunch of them off yesterday. There's a tree growing in our hedge. I didn't want a tree in there. So I'm cutting it off yesterday. I think that's where I cut myself. No. Think of yourself as a branch now. You're a branch. fruit. I'm trying to produce fruit. I'm a branch. I tried hard to produce the fruit. I can't do it. I need to be attached to the vine so that he produces the fruit and it goes through me. The Christian life is not about forcing fruit, but receiving life. Jesus said it this way, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full. That's my desire. My mission is to give you life in me so that it flows through you. So when you show love, it is Christ loving through you. When you extend forgiveness, it's Christ forgiving through you. When you stand firm in trials and troubles and storms, it is Christ strengthening you. This should create humility and confidence at the same time. Humility, because the fruit is not ours. Confidence, because Christ never fails to bear fruit in those who remain or abide in him. Point four, assurance. Our identity is secure in Christ. Luther emphasized that abiding or remaining in Christ is not just about sanctification, it's also about our identity and security. Even when we stumble, Luther said, grace is more abundant and stronger than sin because our union with Christ is real and unbreakable. Jesus doesn't graft us into himself one day and prune us off the next. We are held by his life, not ours. Your assurance does not come from how tightly that you cling to Jesus. It's how tightly Jesus clings to you. Your identity is not, I am as strong as my performance. I am as safe as my obedience. I am as loved as my last good day. No. Our identity is this. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. That is unshakable. That is unchanging. That is grace. So today, think about it. This morning, Christ invites you to be united to him and by him, so live in him. Christ calls you to dependence, meaning we rely on him. Christ promises fruit, so let him work through you. And Christ gives assurance so we can rest in him. Luther was right. A Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ. So this week, slow down. Pray deeply. Open the scriptures. Center your life on Jesus. Let his spirit fill you and let his life flow into you so that it can flow out of you to others. Because when we remain or abide in him, everything changes. Everything changes. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks, and we're reminded this week that we gather as family and friends to give thanks for all the blessings that you've given. The greatest blessing you've given is faith in you. And so help us to use that gift of faith to bless and encourage others around us as we celebrate your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name.